Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Condo Craze and HOA's radio show on 850 WFTL. I'm attorney Eric Glazer, and I'm here today with attorney Scott Shapiro. Each of us are with the law firm of Glazer & Associates, PA. And this week, we're here at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, before a live studio audience at our Condo Craze and HOA's Expo. We're also broadcasting the show by video feed live on the internet at www.850wftl.com. So how about we hear everybody from the audience a little round of applause. Rodney, rile them up. All right, good day so far. Having a lot of fun.
It's been absolutely, really educational and really fun, Eric.
Absolutely.
Hope everybody's enjoying themselves and learning about homeowners associations, condominium associations, and, you know, all the things that go along with being a property owner here in the state of Florida.
And I want to thank you, Scott, for making the drive from South Florida and for accompanying me here today and for accompanying me for the last 6 years on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a pleasure working for you for, I guess, now almost a decade. And, I'm very happy to be here, despite the fact that I'm being paid to be here.
All right. For those of you who are watching on the internet or listening, let's set the stage for you. We had breakfast from 7 to 8. We taught the Condo Craze board certification seminar from 8 to 10:30. We have a live radio show right now. Lunch for everybody comes up next, and we have other classes taught by our sponsors. We're going to be giving away lots of prizes, maybe some during the show, actually, today. And we have dozens of exhibitors as well. So if you're in the Orlando area, there's still time to drop by and say hello.
Yeah. So what else is going on here besides the radio show? We have classes and we have a whole bunch of booths here from our show's sponsors. And many of them are giving classes too. And Eric, I think we should give a rundown of who's here and what's going on.
Absolutely. Let's do that. Really, thanks to all the sponsors who made today's event possible. We have Waste Management, Symbiont Services Corp, FP&M Force, P&A Roofing, LM Funding, Blue Works, First Place Fitness Equipment, High Dow, Sunbright Outdoor Furniture, Ranger Construction, M&M Asphalt Maintenance, Driveway Maintenance, Custom Reserves, and the list goes.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of more people here and a whole lot of more businesses. We have City National Bank. They've been doing a great job helping condominium and homeowner associations obtain loans and working with them for years. They've been with us for quite some time, right?
Yep,
we also have Condominium Concepts, another longtime sponsor of this show, a management company. And Darlis is here from the company, and she's going to join us in just a second. Also, probably our longest sponsor, Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg.
Guys that know what they're doing when it comes to CPA stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've represented a number of our clients and a number of the associations we've sued over the years,
right.
And I can always tell you that their stuff's in order and it's top notch. Also, we have Diligent Pest Control, that speaks for itself. They do a diligent job. Cyber Citizens for Justice is also sponsoring us, and they're here today. They're an activist group that works on behalf of community association members.
Yeah, I think everybody knows who Jan is. That's
okay.
For sure throughout the state.
Where
of
is
Florida.
He?
Jan's supposed to be up on the stage. Where do you go? He's probably fighting with some board member right now.
Yeah, also here today is PDA Paint, PD Painting, and Service Master. Some of our, longest sponsors.
Also, Ice Twister is here. They were kind enough to provide refreshments for our guests. Florida's Eden, Inc., Ram Striping, Insurance Offices of America, QFC Dog Waste Solutions, HIG Insurance as well, to all the sponsors.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Mention.
Very much appreciated.
Pipelining Technologies is here as well.
And Pipelining Technologies.
Really cool service they provide. They help you save on the cost of replacing your pipes.
And we also have representatives of our local government here as well.
We always love having them.
Absolutely. The Department of Business and Professional Regulation for always participating in our events. I can tell you, Lazaro Gonzalez from the DBPR was on our expert panel this morning, and people really love the fact that a representative from the DBPR was in attendance, and they get to actually ask them a question live and get answers right away rather than having to wait for the mail to come.
Wish I could do that.
Right. So today was a great chance for them, actually.
Also, the property appraisers here for the Orange County Property Appraisers Office, and they're going to be teaching a class today, and I'm sure they have plenty of education materials with them as well.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot still in store, and should be a good day all in all. And, I understand if you stop by the property appraisers booth, just by stopping by, they'll discount your property insurance for the next 3 years.
At least that's probably not true.
I'm trying to get them, People show up.
But yeah, you know, I think when we start giving away stuff, they'll start filling up here.
All right. Again, nice round of applause for all of our sponsors. Thank you all for being here today. Couldn't have been possible without all of you. But let's do this. Let's introduce our panel who is going to be joining us during the radio show today and who also joined us for our seminar early this morning. These people certainly know what they're talking about when the world of condos and HOAs. So Jan Bergman, we'll start with you, the founder and president of Cyber Citizens for Justice. How about telling us what your cause is, Jan?
Well, hi to you all. glad to see you all. And it was fun listening to the seminar this morning. It was great fun, and like usual. And we hope really to pass a bill this year to help the owners living in HOAs here in Florida, because it's necessary, it's a must, and you know, we need to be neighborly, and that's what our communities are standing for, and that is what we are fighting for.
Hey, Jan, where can listeners find out more information about Cyber Citizens for Justice?
We are an advocacy organization with a membership. We hope that the owners have enough interest to join. And we try to pass laws in Tallahassee that are owner-friendly, because make no mistake, the bills that are often passed are anything but owner-friendly.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be Cyber Citizens if you didn't have a website. So where can people check you out?
We do have a website, and it's easy. It's www.ccfj.net.
All right, how about passing the mic to your left so that Darlis Walker from Condominium Concepts Management can introduce herself. Thanks for joining us again today, Darlis.
Thank you, Eric. Good afternoon, Orlando. We are so pleased to be here and very excited to be a part of this. We had a tremendous certification meeting this morning and had lots of participation. I'm going to be asking a few questions later and possibly giving some great door prizes, so I hope you all paid attention. Condominium Concepts is one of the most preeminent management companies in the Southeast, and we do have a very large presence in the Orlando market, and we're very hands-on. We love the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your needs and possibly help you become financially and fiscally responsible and stable in your community.
Thanks, Darlis. How about passing the mic to your left so the smartest guy in the panel can say hello? I can't even spell CPA. We've got CPA Seth Bernstein on the panel. How are you, Seth?
Thank you for having me today, Eric.
How about telling us about what Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg does?
We are a full-service CPA firm representing condominium and homeowner associations throughout the state of Florida. We have offices in the Fort Myers, Orlando area, Boca Raton, and Aventura. We take pride over the last 25 years of just working with our boards, on an intimate level, and going over everything with them from the year-end financials to the budget process.
And you did a great job this morning on the panel explaining to everybody how important it is to start going on your year-end financial reporting requirements, because associations throughout the state have a 120-day deadline in order to prepare those reports, and if they don't, they're going to get in trouble with Laz's office from the DBPR, so they need to make sure they do that. All right, I want to get the audience members involved in the radio show today, so here's what I'd like to do. We have people walking around with microphones. I expect you guys to start asking some questions or screaming and yelling, making some comments or whatever else you'd like to talk about, but I want to try to start out with a theme today, and of course the same topic is open to our panel members as well. And we've gone with the theme in South Florida as well, when we did the show in front of a live studio audience there. And we'll run it through, we'll give it a shot at least in Central Florida. So let's set the stage for the people at home. You know, we're sitting in a big ballroom here in Central Florida. We're at the Orange County Convention Center. We're in the same room. We have community association managers. We got board members. We got non-board members sitting together. And everybody seems to be having a good time, laughing, joking, kidding around, and believe it or not, getting along with each other. Why is it that when you take them out of this room and you put them in a condo or HOA, all hell breaks loose and they can't get along with each other? So I'll not only open it up to, you know, the crowd, I'd love to hear from them, but, you know, what do the panel members think? You know, what is it about community associations that some would argue might not work?
Well, I think, first of all, our parents taught us to behave in public So most of us are doing that today. But when we get to our homes, we feel very comfortable and are very opinionated in how things should appear, how things should operate. And probably some of us have our own motivations, and those don't always mix.
Right.
I think that people want it their way. A large portion of our homeowners are, and condo owners are, retirees. They've run the good race, and now they want to enjoy it, but they want it their way. And sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Jan, I think I can think of nobody better in the state, perhaps, to ask you, has the homeowner and condo association concept worked, or is there still problems to be solved?
I think there are too many problems. There is too much power given to people over their neighbors, and often these people can't deal with the power given to them. So there's a lot of abuse. Then there's money in the game that is very tempting. And then you have quite a few people who, well, like you say in English, who don't have a life and need one and think they can deal with it by being a board member.
Well, let's do this. I'm going to wind up taking our first commercial break, but I want to throw the question out to the members of the audience. I want them to think about this during the commercial break, because I definitely want to hear from some of the board members in the room especially. You know, it's no secret that board members are yelled at all the time. They're screamed at all the time. They're second-guessed. They're accused of being on the take, right, taking kickbacks and bribes and playing favorites, and oftentimes just making life a little miserable in their community. And that's just what they hear from their spouse half the time, never mind the people that actually live in the community. So I got to ask, why do they do it? Despite knowing going in advance that you're going to be second-guessed about everything you do, why do they still do it? So let's do this. I'd like the audience members to participate when we come back in that regard. We'll take our first break of the hour. We're here live at the Ovangel Convention Center taking comments from the community on 850 WFTL Condo Craze and HOAs. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Condo Craze and HOA's radio show here on 850 WFTL. We're live in front of a studio audience at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. Panel of experts, Jan Bergman, Darla Swalker, and Seth Bernstein were kind enough to join us on the panel today. Thank you very much. Before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about why in the world would somebody want to volunteer for a board of directors in a condo or HOA when they know just how much work they're going to have to put in going forward, and that no matter what they do, they're going to be second-guessed. Let's throw it out to the audience. Any board members in the audience that want to participate?
I live in an older community, and most of them were retirees, and they were getting too old to do the job, so they needed some fresh blood. So I jumped in to volunteer, and I really enjoy it, although you do have a few people who just constantly complain. You needed to get it done because no one else was going to do it.
Good for you. And that's, I guess, how oftentimes a lot of people feel that, you know, if no one else is going to do it, I better step up to the plate. If I don't, then the community is just going to fall apart. What, did you ever have any prior experience in the business field as an accountant, a CPA, or running a business before?
No.
No. So did you find it overwhelming when you actually got on the board as to just how much a board member has to know and has to do? You're stumped.
Well, okay, basically I'm the secretary of the association, so I got to be the secretary and take all that responsibility. But if I used to attend the old board meeting, so I guess I followed what was going on.
Gotcha. So you were previously attending the board meeting, so you kind of knew what you were getting into.
Right.
Okay. Why do you guys think board members do it? You know, I'll say it after practicing in this profession for so long. I think a lot of times, and Jan may disagree with me, but I think a lot of times board members get a bad rap. What do I mean by that? Sure, there's potentially, you know, guys that are on the take, guys that go after people in their community that perhaps they shouldn't go after, and people wind up getting in trouble while serving on a board. But you know what? The same thing happens to doctors. They get arrested for Medicare fraud. Lawyers get arrested for taking trust account money that they shouldn't take. And yes, every once in a while, board members will get arrested for taking money too. But why is the rap so bad when it comes to board members? You know, other professions have the same similar problems, don't you think?
I do think that. I think that board members, for the most part, I think board members will want to serve for one of two reasons. And I think the first one is going to be that they truly want to better their community and really enhance their property values. The second reason is someone will want to serve because they have a personal agenda, something that they want done that maybe the previous board hasn't agreed to, or they see that they can financially gain. So I think it's one or the other. I think the majority of homeowners that serve on boards really do want to better their communities. However, those that are there for the other reason, I think it's so well known, number one, you're dealing with people's homes, which is very personal. But number two, we've seen some very large losses and very monetarily to the associations, and it just, the newscasters just eat it up.
Well, I wish it was a joke, but Jan, you know, I tell this during every seminar. A couple of years ago, only the condo statute had a section that said if you get arrested as a director for stealing association funds, you're removed from the board. So you and I fought in Tallahassee to have that changed. And why did we try to have it changed? Again, we told everybody this joke in the morning, but it's actually not a joke because you had directors from Central Florida who were getting arrested for stealing association money, and they continued to serve on the HOA board from their prison cell. So, yes, unfortunately, these things do happen, but the question to you, Jan, is, does it happen more often than any other profession, so to speak?
You forgot to mention the developer who paid his bail from association funds.
Oh, but I did forget about that.
You're
right.
Beside the point.
You're right.
The thing is, you know, there are many, many, many good board members. Don't get me wrong, but it's the saying, it's statistics show that about 15% of the association annually have some serious problems, and that is absolutely too much because it costs the owners too much money. Board members serve a lot to do good, but then there are the few, they use private agendas, they have money in mind, they feel they can gain something for themselves, And that are the people who have a problem.
You know, there are probably tons of people in communities that don't want to be involved but are qualified and honest and would be willing to speak with people about their problems before initiating anything that would cost money or just look ridiculous. But unfortunately, those people, you know, they have lives and they don't want to commit the time to, you know, run their association. But, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I think there's a quote from somebody that says, like, power attracts people that are pathological. So if the good people aren't there, you know, and there's a void, there's always going to be someone, you know, willing to take up a position in an association where there are a lot of disinterested unit owners, and that's where the problem happens. So if you're going to be disinterested, you know, you get the government you vote for, you get the board you vote for sometimes.
Do you, Eric and Jan, do you believe that there is more fraud or mismanagement in the HOA side or in the condo side?
I don't know. I don't think there's one difference over the other. I would think that probably condos are managed more often than HOAs, perhaps. And I feel better, quite frankly, when I have a community that's managed by professional managers than when they're not managed or when they're self-managed, because there's far less likelihood of something getting caught.
Plus,
no two ways about it.
Traditionally, a lot less money in the HOA's coffers
exactly,
than in a condominium's
coffers. HOA dues are traditionally cheap. Even if money was stolen, it's typically less, although Jan may tell me I'm wrong in that regard.
You may be right, but one of the problems we see is that that many board members have no business experience, and an association is a business, sometimes with a huge budget. You know, you have associations, they have a $2-4 million budget, and these people don't know how to deal with it. You know, some of them sometimes often don't know how many zeros go in a million.
Sure.
And then you have a problem, and then you have some, let's say, vendors and people on the panel exempt, but then you have some attorneys who stir up the pot because they need billing hours and
objections.
I don't care if you have 20
happens.
Objections. Yeah. But see, the problem is many attorneys feel they can't make enough money by amending the deed restriction. So they give
there is
some
very
advice.
Little money in that, Scott. You got to admit.
I'm sorry. Scott, I know. But hey, that's the way it is.
Hey,
and
Seth,
I could
let me ask you this. You're the guy, quite frankly, on the panel that can tell us the things to look for in terms of whether or not an officer or director may have helped themselves to funds that they shouldn't have helped themselves to. What are kind of like, you know, some warning signs that you think associations need to look at when making a determination as to whether or not there's any monkey business going on in a community?
First of all, the community has to be involved.
Sure.
A lot of times what you find when there's any fraud or any issues with that in the community is usually when you have a board member, you have like two or three board members who have been around for 10, 15 years. Nobody else really wants to be bothered by running the community. It's not that big of an association. And that's usually where you start to see a lot of the fraud, because, you know, they accept cash payments.
Sure, sure.
They have credit cards for multiple, you know, stores.
I agree with you. I think oftentimes it's a matter of people getting comfortable in their community, because I can tell you in South Florida, at least, most of the arrests that happen of board members who wind up taking money, you wind up hearing that it's the same person who's been on the board for 15 years, and I never imagined that Sally would ever do anything like that, because Sally's been great running the books all this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so nobody's been checking Sally seems to be the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Well, that's the thing. It usually probably starts with, you know, a couple of bucks here from petty cash. And once they're there for 10 years, they feel comfortable putting their husband on the medical insurance of the association's employees or stealing tens of thousands of dollars to play, to gamble at the Indian reservation.
At the Hard Rock, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are cases
that
Scott has actually, we can say actually happened. What else are we looking for?
A lot of other areas, related party transactions, when the board members hire themselves to do the work around the neighborhood, if there might be pool service, landscapers.
Yeah, which isn't always the worst thing if they're cutting the association a deal, but, you know, obviously, if they're not.
Right. We spoke about that, too, earlier in the day, that the law now allows, you know, under certain circumstances, the ability to actually hire people that are on the board of directors to do work in the community, such as the landscaping, like you were saying, is, you know, certain hoops are jumped through. Like they got to make a disclosure, 2/3 of the other board members have to agree to it, the unit owners have the right to cancel it. What do you guys think? It's a good idea to hire people that are on the board? I'll tell you, I made a bad mistake when I was a young attorney. The association I lived in hired me to do the collection work. First time I filed a lien against somebody in the community, came out to my car one morning, and it was keyed from end to end. Yeah. So I learned as a youngster, probably not a good idea to get involved in the community that you work in, that you live in, I should
say. They always tell you in law school, don't ever represent a family member. But, it should go with
cabinets related to family members.
Exactly.
But that's a different story.
You know, that should probably extend to your neighbors as well.
What do you think?
I've actually had just the opposite experience. I have a property that we've managed for 8 years, and the board actually requested that we hire one of the board members as our maintenance supervisor because he did care so much about the community, and we did had a little disagreement because it went against our policy.
Sure.
But I finally concessed to the board, put that individual on as maintenance supervisor, and he's just been we did make him resign from the board.
Right.
That was our condition. But he's been fabulous because he really does care about the community and saves it money and does a great job.
Absolutely. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to do that. But anything else we need to be careful about, Seth? Or those are generally the telltale signs of what to look for?
Yeah, and you know, if I was associations, you know, don't accept cash, because a lot of times you have those ancillary income items like laundry income.
I can tell you, I've been involved
valet.
In way more than one situation where managers were taking payments, you know, monthly assessment payments by cash. People were complaining, I paid. Why did you file a lien against my unit? And it turned out that they weren't lying; they were telling the truth. The manager absconded with a lot of money in cash. Darlis, what's the policy with your managers in that regard?
Well, first, our company policy is we don't ever take cash, but we offer a lot of different payment options to our homeowners for the convenience of paying online.
Right.
But we also, I have a very excellent accounting department, and we have facilitated where we have different individuals doing the bank reconciliations and monitoring deposits. And so we just have a lot of checks and balances in place.
Gotcha.
So that we would catch it immediately. We don't recommend ever that our boards have credit cards.
Right.
And that the petty cash is, we check it once a month. So
I had a situation once where the president and one of the employees were kind of working into cahoots together, where the president was writing out checks to one of the maintenance personnel, making it look like the maintenance personnel was earning money, and then they go to the bank together and split it up. So, yeah, these things, in fact, do
Absolutely.
Happen. You know, Jan, how often does your phone ring? Well, let me tell you what else Scott and I deal with every day. We get calls all day long that we think that our board is stealing money. And if every single one of those calls turned out to be true, you know, the whole state of Florida would be in prison, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So the reality is, unless people come forward and with the actual proof, nobody wants to hear it. When you have the proof, no problem. Come forward and we'll deal with it. But, you know, don't dare make accusations that somebody's stealing money. I got no problem saying it unless you have the goods on them.
Right.
You know, what do you think, Jan?
You know, that's the problem with thinking. You know, in Germany we have a saying, you know, leave the thinking to horses. They have bigger brains.
Right.
But nevertheless, you know, in my opinion, it's very easy. You want to work and make money out of the association, resign from the board.
Gotcha.
End of argument.
All right, I'm getting a signal from the guys in the back that it's time to take a commercial break. But, Scott, the statement that you made earlier, I want to throw out to the audience. You had a quote that says, power attracts people that are pathological. I'd love to know what our audience members think about that. Let's take our bottom of the hour break here at 850WFTL.com. Condo Craze and HOAs in Orlando. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Condo Craze and HOA's radio show again on here on 850 WFTL. We're live in front of a studio audience at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, with our guest panel today. Before we went to the last commercial break, Scott, you had a great quote. I don't know who made it, but you can take credit for it if you want. But
no.
The quote was, power attracts people that are pathological. That's a tough statement for a board member to hear. But I understand some board members or unit owners in the audience want to make some comments or have some questions in that regard. So who do we got? This gentleman in the front row.
Hi, my name's Ken Wagner. I'm a professional engineer and a recently elected board member.
A recently elected board. My condolences, sir.
The reason I ran for the board is, like Jan said, we have a situation that's divided the community. We're a board, I don't know if I'd call them pathological, but they're definitely a dictatorship manipulated by a central group. And I was just wondering, you know, we're in a condominium association, and it doesn't appear we have board limits or officer limits, which I think the HOAs do.
You saying term limits?
Term limits.
Yeah, gotcha.
No.
And also, I was wondering, I thought there was going to be a representative here from Ombudsman, but I'm wondering if anybody could comment on the Ombudsman contributing to the operation conducts board meetings.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Jan, you and I are probably really good to talk about that at this point. What the condo ombudsman. Now, here we had a crowd this morning of about 50-50 homeowner associations as opposed to condominium associations, and we spoke about the fact that when people have complaints like this gentleman in the first row, if they're from a condominium, they can speak to the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, they can file a complaint, they can ask for their initiation of an investigation. They can go on a website and have their questions answered. They can call in a hotline and get their questions answered. And all of that for $4 per year. If you live in an HOA, however, and by the way, of course, as the gentleman was saying, they can have a condominium ombudsman handle their condo election. And in HOA, you get none of that. So tell us about your HOA reform bill that's now currently pending.
Well, in the moment, you can call Eric or you can call me to get an answer, which is not always helpful. Right. But anyway, the reform bill more or less gives the same kind of enforcement and regulation than we have for condos in the moment. And that is very important because you can't file a lawsuit every time you don't get a record. You know, you want the minutes. You want the minutes of the last meeting, and they don't give them to you. You know, is it worth filing a lawsuit? Definitely not.
Sure.
You know, so you need some entity where you can go and complain, which then forces the board to hand over the documents. That's just one example. There are lots of things, and I tell you one thing. Now I have to be careful because Eric is sitting here and so is Scott.
It's going to be another attorney, Weiss.
Yes, right. The issue is, you know, it has to be reasonable. And money has to be spent carefully because money is scarce. So if you have for $4 a year an agency which can help you solve these little problems, it will be worth a lot more than just the $4. And that's why we want the reform. And there comes the election. Election in HOAs are just a joke. I mean,
yeah.
Even the 2000 election here in Florida, where my friends in Germany still laugh about, was good against
some. Yeah, they get everything right in Germany. You know?
Right. Well, they have a chance that works.
Right. And Senator Hayes is now in the process. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's going to be filing the bill. I understand it's in bill writing right now. And hopefully this is the year.
Well, to answer this gentleman's, it wasn't, I guess, a question. He made a statement. There aren't term limits for any community association. Probably that would solve a lot of problems, but it would create new problems.
Right.
Because in communities that you know, are just full of people that don't want to be on the board.
Right.
There'd be vacancies, and then receivers would need to be appointed, and that would cost you a heck of a lot more money than anybody that's stealing from the association.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, term limits are probably the answer to most of the political problems in this country.
You're right. Maybe when it comes to this country, I think I can agree with you, but I also agree with the other statement you made, and I'd certainly like to hear from you, Dallas. It's oftentimes so difficult to get people to run for the board to begin with. Sometimes even difficult to get people to vote in the election, never mind run for the board. So would term limits actually stop good people that want to actually continue to serve on their board for 20 years from serving?
Actually, I do think that they would. I do have several communities where we, their bylaws or their documents do have term limits. And so some of very good board presidents have had to come off the board for a period of 1 year after they've served 5 years, and it was detrimental to the community because they really were doing a great job of leading the pack.
Sure. You Vivian, know, I think we had a question from somebody in the back. This gent, I'm sorry. Here we go.
Okay.
Just please make sure to get right up to the mic.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that I'm one of those newly elected, well, it's almost default,
right,
to be serve on a board. And we did have the situation that, Eric, you were, I mean, is it Seth?
Seth, right.
That all those situations you were mentioning that we need to look into, that's why I'm here. Because we need that audit, full-blown audit, because we suspect, but we're not sure. And the word pathological, sociopath comes up often, dictatorship, yeah, in our conversations. So, you know, we just feel like that we have two new board members coming on board where we don't live in that world. I've been in the business world, too, and educational world, but we just want a good community.
Sure.
And it was very good what you taught us this morning.
Thank you. And who can blame you for wanting a good community? Yes. Right.
I think, my name is Renata Ward. I'm the president of the board of my community, also of the master board. And I have experience on the board, plenty. But I want to say this. Board members take a really bad rap.
I was waiting. I got to tell you, I didn't mean to cut you off, Renata, but I was waiting because, you know, I ask everybody in the morning, how many board members do we have here? How many non-board members do we have here? And I think this morning it probably was like 10 to 1, board members to non-board members. So we spent some time, you know, board members were taking some shots just now while, during the radio
yeah.
show. And I was waiting for somebody from the board to stand up and say, wait a minute, you know, why don't you guys try it?
Yeah,
and
Erica.
I'm hoping to hear that from you.
Yeah.
You know, you wonder why you take the job or why you want the job. My personal need was to find out where is our money going. And that was number one. Number two, I could tell that my fellow candidates were not knowledgeable. They had never even read our documents. They didn't know anything about our documents. And I think, you know, getting on a sideline here, the certification class is an improvement 100%. The sad part is that the enforcement is negligent. And if you can fill out an affidavit stating that you've done whatever it takes to become knowledgeable, to my way of thinking is your typical spineless bending over.
But how do you really feel, Renata? Don't hold back now.
You know, I mean, why did we do that? Why did we allow that? Because if you're going to enforce something, you have to have the rules stand.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and people need to have the certification. But I wanted to say board members are expected to enforce rules and regulations.
Sure.
And now they're called dictators, you know, because you don't want that they park their cars on the grass and you don't want that they do improvements that you didn't authorize. So now you're the
no
bad guy.
If there's no control in a community, I get it. If the documents are never listened to, then a community is going to go downhill. I agree.
Eric.
There has to be rules and regulations
in
every community.
You know about the latest incident about the time machine in the driveway.
Yes, I heard about that.
Can you just see time machine followed by what next?
Eric.
You know?
Yes.
You know the difference between dictatorships and democracies?
Oh, yeah.
In democracies, you vote, and then you take orders, and they don't bother with the voting in
dictatorships. And the other thing is, I think the negligible areas in Florida are the realtors, because they do not advise the buyers properly on what they're buying into when they're buying into a homeowner association.
That's a great point. Do people not know what they're getting into? But I understand the young lady on your right also has a question she wants to ask.
Let me interject this real quick.
Yeah,
what she said is absolutely 100% correct. We hear it every day that the sales agent told me this or the sales agent told me that. And I tell everybody, first of all, it's usually printed in your declaration or in your offering letter. Don't rely on anything that's told to you by a real estate agent verbally. If it's not in writing, it doesn't stand.
All right, let's do this. I'm getting the signal from the back that we got to go to our final commercial break. So let's do that. When we get back, we spoke about board members, we spoke about unit owners, but we didn't talk yet about perhaps the most important person that actually helps run the association, and that's you, Dawes, managers. And do they get a bad rap too? And what should their role be in a community? Let's talk about that, and let's talk about what you brought up, Renata. Education, now that you took a course, let's talk about whether or not everybody thinks that should be mandatory. So let's take our final break of the hour. We'll be back right after this at Condo Craze and HOAs.
Come on.
Segment of the Condo Craze and HOA's radio show here on 850 WFTL. We're live in front of a studio audience at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. And before we went to the break, we were saying we're going to be talking about what managers do for their communities, how oftentimes their assistance goes unnoticed and underappreciated. But before we do that, let's take a question from one of our audience members.
Oh, I'm not going to question. What I'm going to do is agree with Renata to the extent that good board members do get attacked because they attempt to follow the law and the rules of the association.
So you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. If you don't make people follow the rules, you're considered a weak board member.
Right.
And if you make people follow the rules, you're a dictator.
Absolutely.
So, where's the middle ground?
I don't know that you can find a middle ground, because the nasty emails that I see that seem like personal attacks at time, you just have to close your eyes and go in another direction.
And oftentimes that's what's done.
It reminds me of like one of the first cases actually that I had when I started working with you, Eric. It was, we were doing what's called a recall of a condominium association's board. That's the process with the DBPR where you remove the board members because they thought they were stealing because they were entering into these massive construction contracts. And the new board members got in there after the old board members were thrown out during the recall. And what did they learn once they were in there? Ooh, things are just expensive. Nobody's stealing. Everybody,
right. You learn that when you get in.
And then also, somebody stated earlier that the real estate agents aren't telling you enough. Well, this happens to everybody. If you're even from a first-time home buyer to, I don't know, someone who developed an entire city and has been developing condominiums for 30 years or is a presidential advisor, they don't read their declarations either before they buy,
as we personally know. That's exactly right. Was there another question in the bank? Yes, another comment.
I just want to say something about management. To have a really good management company and a great management team, you need to have someone who understands the rules that govern your association. And if they don't, then you need to get rid of them.
Absolutely. There was a big change in the Florida legislature this year, and we'll set the stage this way. There was kind of a big fight between, let's say, our side of the table, the Florida Bar, although I was not part of that fight, and the managers in the state of Florida, as to just how far community association managers are going to be allowed to go for helping their clients without it being called the practice of law and requiring a law license. So the fight was certainly absolutely won by managers because the Florida legislature just came out and gave managers in the state of Florida a whole host of other responsibilities that you can now do. Along with that, though, Darlis, came a lot of responsibilities, and the statute was changed to say, basically, if we're going to give you these responsibilities and we're going to give you the right to do this type of work, you better do it right. If not, you can face trouble. But so does every profession, has some sort of legal standards. I'm sure having standards doesn't bother you at all.
No, it doesn't. And Eric, we blogged about this extensively because my feeling was that the bar was saying, hey, we need to put regulations on the CAMs to have them not do these things that we consider practicing law because we're having to spend too many billable hours to correct their mistakes. Right. So what they were really saying is, we want guaranteed billable hours so that they can't do this to begin with.
Just attacking lawyers.
Give me
relentless.
A break.
Yeah.
But, as far as management companies do get a bad rap, but what I will say is while you're looking at financial things that should be a red flag of things that could be going wrong in your community, if you have a management company who cares, who is always there, very supportive, your financials are clean, your bank accounts are cash, everything's cash flowing, and you have a rogue board member who makes a decision or works it in a way to get rid of that management company, that's a red flag.
Sure.
That you need to look into the board.
Absolutely.
Because if a management company's doing their job, you know it. Your fees are stable, your property's great, your deferred maintenance is taken care of. Yes, a lot of times management has to be the bad guy.
Sure.
Because we're the ones that have to say no. But we want to do it with kindness and with professionalism.
Question in the back.
Yes, sir. Mine's a two-part question. First of all, my name is...
We
Chris.
Charge for two-part questions. No,
that's fine. That's me. All right. One is, I want to commend you and for putting in a seminar. It's been very informative.
Thank you.
My first seminar I've been to, but we are a little bit different. We are a POA board. Matter of fact, I'm one of six of seven board directors that we have here today, and they all agree with us that it's been very informative. But I'd like to know what your experience has been in terms of dealing with POA boards versus HOM.
Jan, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. When 720, the Florida Statutes of 720 came out, you had all types of communities that called themselves, many different types of things, POA, COA, whatever it was. And the bottom line is the intent was to gather all these different types of communities and throw them all under 720. So basically, you're under 720 if everybody has these documents recorded as to their property, and by failing to follow these documents, they have a right to lien your property and foreclose on you.
Right.
So if that's the case in your situation, no matter what you're going to call it, it's still going to fall under 720.
So as long as it is a mandatory association, you
yes.
can call it whatever you want, it goes under 720, and definition, you find exactly that that's the case. So
right.
POA or whatever they call them, it's still an HOA regulated
and
by 720.
And still under 720, so you got that from both of us. And your part two.
My other part was, that was the second part of mine. The first one, I wanted to commend y'all for the
Thank
cool
you very much.
You put on. And I would like to see more emphasis put on 720 for the POA boards.
That's what we're trying, but you also raised the point. You thanked us for the seminar. I appreciate it. Now, for those of you that actually took the seminar this morning, would love to hear from you. You can hold on to the mic. Now that you've taken it, do you think education for board members should be mandatory?
I fully
yes.
agree.
Yes. How about a round of applause from the audience?
I totally agree with you.
Who wants to grab the mic and tell us why? Tell us if they thought they learned something this morning. And if they think directors should have the opportunity to weasel their way out of it by signing an affidavit. That gentleman, I think, what, young lady there?
I have the mic, but that's not why I have
Hold
it.
Hold it up closer to your
I have mouth. The mic because I want to know what year did 720 become effective?
Was it 92? No,
2000. In 2001,
2000,
it
right.
was changed to 720. It was before part of 617.
Okay. So usually, before that, Florida homeowners associations were governed by just a not-for-profit statute, but then 2000, it was changed to create their own statute.
And contract
okay, then
law.
I have a second
yes.
part, I guess.
Sure.
If our bylaws or covenants or restrictive deeds show that, like, for instance, our bylaws show that our board members can be compensated, but then it goes on, 720 says they cannot be compensated. Which one is
well,
followed?
Well, the statute says you're compensated if your documents and your bylaws allow you to be compensated. So then, yes, the question is, how is compensation determined? I'll tell you one way how it's not determined and how board members got in trouble. When they say, okay, we're just not going to pay our assessments. It's cases that where board members have gotten trouble because they thought they did not have to pay assessments over the years. So you got to be careful about how you do it, okay? And get an advice from an attorney before you decide the type of compensation that should be allowed. There's a question in the back.
Yes. Our original documents were recorded in 1983. And so I understand that MRTA...
Oh, great question. Sure. We got about 2 minutes left, 2-3 minutes. If you don't mind, I'm going to cut you off because I know where you're going. What is MRTA? MRTA is a provision of the Florida statutes that says your documents expire after 30 years if you don't re-record them within that period of time. So guess what, Jan? I know you've dealt with this a million times. After 30 years, those documents could be gone. You think you live in a community with restrictions, and all of a sudden, you don't.
But before you go, and this only applies to HOAs.
So HOAs
are not doesn't apply to co-ops or condominiums.
Right. But, yes, it is absolutely an issue in the HOA setting.
If, along the way, you amended those documents, did it reset the clock?
Honest to God, this came up in my office this week. I take the position that it did. It starts the clock all over again.
I would agree with that.
I asked an attorney to get an opinion from the fund, which writes title insurance. But, yeah, my opinion is I thought that starts the clock over again, too. Complicated reason why, but, yes, I thought it did. Okay? But there's no cases on it that I found that says it does.
Can I send you an email later on and see what you find out?
Be glad to answer the emails. Absolutely. In the minute or two we got left, Darlis, you know, our theme song is Why Can't We Be Friends? And I think at least...
By war.
By war, right. That's funny, actually. But it seems to me kind of a theme throughout the day was that there oftentimes is a lack of communication simply between the board and the community. And sometimes the board might be doing the best things for the community, and usually they are. But if the unit owners don't know about it and word isn't gotten out there, then unit owners are left with the idea, at least the concept, that, you know what? What are they trying to hide from me when nothing's being hidden at all, but the communication is bad? So, you know, how important is it just to have the right kind of communication?
You know, I've come to hate the word transparency just because it's been used by our government so much. The word's been used. I'm not sure we've gotten the transparency, but we won't go there. But I do feel like... Our homeowners want more information. they don't really want to be involved in the decision, but they want to be informed. They don't want to be refused documents if they want to see them, because they start feeling like you're hiding something. So the best advice that I could give is that, you know, be very upfront. Hold meetings continuously. I mean, on a regular basis. If you're only holding one or two meetings a year, your homeowners are not going to be happy.
Even newsletters or distribute the minutes. Do something. Let the community know what's going on. You'll be second-guessed far
There's
less.
There's so much electronic IT stuff available out there where you can post things. And, I mean, it takes little time, but it really will make a difference, and it will make your jobs easier.
Question in row two.
A couple comments of what you just talked about. I have a community forum, a resident independent community forum, and it's set up for education of the owners. And that's a second comment I have, that it's not just the board that needs to be educated. It's the people who have to release their apathy and learn at least a little bit about how their government works. And my final comment is to the fella in back about MARTA. I'm very current on MARTA, so I'd like to talk to you afterwards.
Oh, infighting in the audience. I love that. That makes a good seminar, I have to tell you. All right, how much time we got left? About a minute to go? All right, so let's do this. Let's first of all thank everybody for coming out this morning. Very, very much appreciated. Hope you all enjoyed the seminar. And we're obviously on the same page in terms of education being mandatory going forward. I certainly want to thank all the panel members for being here today and for participating with us. I want to thank you for participating in the radio show. I want to thank 850 WFTL for coming out here and having the show done live in front of a studio audience. And thank you, Rodney, for putting it all together. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Let's go and eat some lunch and have a great time the rest of the day. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll give out some prizes later. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening.